pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning and welcome to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. That is the text line. That's where you're going to want to hit us up to respond to anything you're hearing this morning on the program. Coming up on the program, before we get to our next guest here, former ambassador to Slovenia, Lindy Blanchard. In the 10 o'clock hour, former congressman, the official Democrat response to the Jeff Poor Show, Parker Griffith, will be with us in the 11 o'clock hour, and Sean Ross from the Brit campaign, as well as he does every Wednesday. But join us now. I'm very pleased to bring on my next guest. You may have seen a dust-up between him and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin yesterday on your newscast. Congressman Matt Gaetz from the 1st Congressional District in Florida joins us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Great to be with you. And it did get a little tense yesterday, but we've got tough questions that we've got to ask the Defense Department. I mean, they want us to send them $773 billion in taxpayer funds. And so long as that's going to kill our enemies and break their stuff and keep the country safe, I'm all for it. What I'm not for is continuing to sacrifice our capabilities on like the altar of wokeism. And it seems like we're doing less and less of what matters on hypersonics, on capabilities, and we're doing, you know, mandatory pronoun training, and we're doing, you know, socialism lectures at the National Defense University, and even defending critical race theory at West Point, of all places. And I'm trying to do my best here in the Congress to try to orient the policy at the Department of Defense more around the actual defense of our country, not as a social justice change agent.
Yeah, it seems the focus has been diverted to these liberal hobby horse type issues. It seems like they really got it wrong on a lot of things here as of late in the Biden administration, particularly with Ukraine and Russia. Did you go back? You also mentioned Afghanistan. There seems to be some deficiencies as well as really knowing what's going on around the world.
I call them the blown calls. You look at Ukraine. I mean, General Milley told us that Ukraine would not last longer than 36 days, that Russia would overrun the capital in a period of 6 to 36 days. And that advice and counsel shaped how a lot of members of Congress were thinking about this conflict. Of course, it had to shape how the White House and the president were thinking about it, if they do much thinking at all over there. And then you've got the Taliban, which General Milley himself told us would not be capable of overrunning the Ghani government for months, that it was possible that the Taliban would take the country, but it would be months at the earliest, could be years. The reality was that miscalculation, that blown call, resulted in the loss of life of 13 uniformed American service members, something that I know we all deeply mourn and deeply regret, frankly, because that was a total needless loss of life, and it happened because of bad advice and bad strategy. And so you think, okay, well, what do you have to do to get better at that? No one's perfect. No one calls everything directly on point. And you think about these Department of Defense-sponsored think tanks, like the National Defense University, and that's why I was so angry that they're shifting away from strategic military learning. They're shifting away from technical capabilities and analysis, and they're moving toward this embrace of what they call egalitarian socialism.
Congressman, not that I would expect the Biden administration to take you up on any recommendations you have, but certainly, do you think it's time for maybe a Lloyd Austin or more of a shakeup at the Pentagon, given kind of where we are today on the globe?
I do. I think that Lloyd Austin in particular is someone who's failed up his entire career. I mean, let's not forget, during the Obama administration, he was the one that was charged to train up the Syrian defense forces. And after spending more than $100 million, that he had only trained up 4 or 5 fighters that survived first contact with the enemy. And so, you know, he's been a symptom of a Pentagon that I think, you know, for too often has tried to maintain a status of low-yield war that allows defense contractors to get very rich, but it drains our nation of our resources and some of our best people and really our focus on what should matter. The hypersonics issue with China is a big, big deal. China has global strike capability in minutes. They have launched a hypersonic system in low glide orbit around the entire world. And if they are able to deliver a payload faster, that fundamentally affects a deterrence across all spectrums. So I'm very serious about making sure that we improve our technical capability, and that ought to predominate over, you know, whether or not we're going to have a diversity, equity, and inclusion strategy at the Department of Defense, or whether or not we're going to chase the ghosts of white supremacy throughout the department. I mean, right now, today, as we're speaking, the Judiciary Committee is debating legislation that would actually stick the FBI on the DOD to try to root out white supremacy. So, I mean, think about that. The FBI pursuing non-criminal conduct, right, thought crimes within our military. I am very, very against that, and I think it shows what this Democrat majority is really focused on, and it's demonizing our fellow Americans. It's turning the national security apparatus inward against our people rather than using it to confront our adversaries abroad, and then believing that every instrument of government, from the EPA to the Department of Labor to the Department of Defense, really exists for these social justice objectives, not for their stated constitutional authorities.
Joined by Congressman Matt Gaetz from over just to the east over there in the 1st Congressional District. And just to clear this up for our listeners, I assume most of them are aware, but the military presence in your congressional district, Eglin, the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, I mean, you do have a sizable military footprint in your congressional district, so this stuff matters there.
Oh, these are kitchen table issues in Northwest Florida. I've got the highest concentration of active duty military in the country. And when I used to go behind the wire or visit our troops downrange, you know, they'd talk about, hey, you know, maybe we need some runways repaved. Maybe we need a new tower. Now, when I talk to our service members and their families, they're so concerned about sort of the flavor that the Department of Defense has taken on at the top level. And where I really was pissed yesterday, Jeff, is when Lloyd Austin said, well, because you're criticizing me, you must not be proud of our country. What an insult for him to try to conflate screwing up major decisions, blowing calls at every critical area of the world with the inspirational patriotism of those who put that uniform on and go to work every day to protect our country. It was completely disgraceful that he did that, but it just sort of shows the tools that the Biden administration is using to try to cover up for their failures and for their inability to kind of meet the moment that the world is calling for right now. But we're real proud of the military mission in Northwest Florida. We're going to continue to be. And honestly, as their congressman, I feel very compelled to make their case. I mean, when I have the chance to question the Secretary of Defense, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, I really try to channel, you know, what does that person who's in my district want to hear? What is the information they want to get? What is the message that they would deliver? And usually that's the best counsel I take is from my constituents.
Congressman, I want to talk about something else you recently made news for, getting the Hunter Biden laptop hard drive entered into the congressional record. That obviously probably gave the Biden administration some heartburn, but you got it there. Talk a little bit about that and what inspired that.
Well, last Tuesday, I successfully entered the Hunter Biden laptop into the congressional record after the FBI cyber chief gave testimony that he had no idea where the laptop was. Now, remember, I have a 2019 December receipt where Max Computer Repair actually gave this laptop, not to the media, not to Rudy Giuliani, but actually to the FBI. This guy just wanted to do the right thing. And the gamesmanship that we've seen, the politicization of the DOJ and the FBI, they've just gotten to a point where we've got to be transparent and we've got to get the honest, right, accurate information out. not through their authorized leaks to the New York Times, sources close to the investigation. I mean, you're used to all that kind of stuff around the Hunter Biden thing. But I wanted to take the information from the laptop and put it into the record so it was undeniable. And every Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, from Jerry Nadler to Eric Swalwell to Hakeem Jeffries, they all could have objected, but they didn't. And I thought that was very interesting. And the day after I introduced that laptop into the record, you saw stories at CNN, Washington Post saying, you know what? This isn't Russian disinformation. This is valid. There is chain of custody here. And I think that what I did on Tuesday really spurred the response from the regime, really, on Wednesday and Thursday of last week. And we're starting to see more and more admissions that the information on the laptop is both accurate and possibly criminal.
Congressman, let's talk about this. One of the things, I guess, that the lesson that President Trump had to learn was just how deeply entrenched the so-called deep state is, and that's the Department of Justice and some of the other bureaucracy, maybe State Department, etc. You've had your own run-ins. You've had your own problems. I really do think that they tried to silence you with their actions. But how do we ever get to a place where that is less of an issue in America?
Well, we got a lot of swamp left to drain in this town. And while the first 4 years of Donald Trump serving as president were terrific and making progress, and really Trump exposed a lot of this because they came for him with such just ferociousness and such hate that a lot of them ended up revealing themselves. And so that was helpful for us to be able to kind of ascertain where some of the big soft spots are. I think it's going to take another Donald Trump presidential term to really get to the rest of that work. And it's not just policies, Jeff. I think a lot of people think, okay, well, can you pass a bill to stop these people from acting like political operatives instead of like law enforcement? And the reality is you can pass any laws you want, and they'll break them. They'll violate them. I mean, whenever the inspector general goes in to look under the hood at the FBI, they see that they're violating the law when it comes to FISA. They're violating their own procedures when it comes to matters involving the media or political candidates or public office holders. And you just can't trust these people anymore. And it's really sad because when I got elected, I actually thought that like the CDC, the FBI, these were the good guys. And now we see like they're just like every other entity in Washington. They want to expand their power. And the way you expand power in this town is by crushing your enemies and helping your friends. And that's what they do. And they're not guided by the facts and the law anymore. I think that we've got to get personnel change at a very wide level, you know, from the front line to the very top. I think there are a lot of changes that really need to happen.
Yeah, and we'll wrap it up on this. Whenever we were in the middle of the Trump presidency during this term, it was always, well, we need an independent Department of Justice. We don't need it politicized. We need an independence. And I don't know. We don't get to elect the Attorney General. We don't need this extra governmental entity that is independent from the executive branch. But that's the way Democrats want to kind of play it. And that doesn't seem natural. That doesn't seem the way the founders set up the country. But that's the way it seems to run sometimes.
Yeah, it's not a fourth branch of government, right? They're all like, oh, well, we need an independent Justice Department. Well, actually, the Justice Department is part of the executive branch. Now, what you don't need is political activity masquerading as law enforcement activity. And that's what really saw during the Russia hoax and what we continue to see revealed during these indictments from the John Durham investigation. They took political dirt. They took Democrat National Committee developed opposition research, and they fused that with the people at the Department of Justice who just hated Trump and probably hate Republicans. And they literally went and like hired the number three guy at DOJ's wife to shuttle this information into the Department of Justice and then ultimately dispersed and distributed out through these authorized leaks. So it's become the modus operandi over there to try to use politics and law enforcement together, and really we ought to have those things separate.
Congressman, you've been very kind, very generous to your time this morning. Best of luck to you, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
All right. Thanks so much, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Congressman Matt Gaetz, ladies and gentlemen, there on the line. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.